Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., all rights reserved.
Welcome back. It's 12 after the hour. I'm Jim Blasingame, a small business advocate, and I'm glad you're here. I'm glad Dr. Blaine McCormick is back with us, ladies and gentlemen. Blaine is a friend of ours. He's been with us in the past. He is a nationally recognized scholar on the business practices of Benjamin Franklin. And the reason he's so interested in that is because that's what he does for a living. He's associate dean for undergraduate studies at the Hankamer School of Business at Baylor University. Some people call it Baylor University out down there in the great state of Texas. His book is called Ben Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur, and it's a book that's adapted from Franklin's own autobiography. I guess that's redundant, isn't it, Blaine? Own autobiography.
Yeah, but we'll let that one slide. I'm not an English professor. I'm a business professor.
You're so not going to be You're not going to get pedantic on me, are you, Blaine?
No way. I mean, if I was an English professor, I never would have touched. I never would have tried to rewrite Franklin's autobiography to begin with. I think that's considered sacrilegious in some part.
Welcome back and to the show. We're glad to have you back, and especially on Mr. Franklin's birthday. 301 years, is that right?
301 years today.
So he was born in England, wasn't he?
Doesn't have quite the cachet of 300, but 301 does it. But
on yeah. Our show, Franklin always has cachet.
All right, that's great.
At any age, Franklin, because Franklin is one of the most fascinating characters in all of history. I was telling the audience before you got here, he was an entrepreneur. He was America's first entrepreneur. I agree with you, but in my opinion, he was also America's first Renaissance man.
Oh. I think a lot of people would. I've not made that claim my own, but a lot of people would agree to that. When they say he was the first American, they would say he's kind of the first person who showed the potential of the American Republic,
right,
to contribute to the arts and the sciences. And I mean,
well, and to government. I mean, he was an entrepreneurial diplomat.
Yeah, Renaissance man is definitely the phrase. But, you know, we ought to, I think, you know, Jim, we ought to start working on a new phrase because that's so Italian, you know.
I know.
the first American maybe is the one, and everybody would refer to, the ones who follow Franklin.
Exactly.
You know, the second American or something.
There you go. Now, he was actually born in England, wasn't he?
No, his father was.
Okay, I thought he was born in England.
Immigrated, but Franklin was born in America, in Boston, in a very out-of-the-way, obscure family. You know, this was not an aristocratic family, so born in very ordinary circumstances in on the far reaches of the known civilization of its day.
Well, in his autobiography, he says he was born into poverty.
Born into poverty, absolutely. He was the youngest of 10 sons. I mean, his father had 17 children. He was the 10th
wow.
son. 15
of now, how many wives did his father have?
Two. His first wife died, and Franklin's father remarried. And
right.
This young lady was a very hearty lady also, and that was Franklin's mother was his father's second wife.
I see. And so, and he worked for a long time with his brother, didn't he? He finally had to just break the bonds from his brother, didn't he?
Yeah, you know, a typical family business story. You know, that's no stranger to some of the listeners on this show. But he was apprenticed to his brother. You know, in those days, you were apprenticed if you were a son. His father almost gave him as his tithes to the church. He was his 10th son, so he thought, you know, I'll give him my tithes to the church. But he apprenticed him to his brother, who was a printer. And Franklin, it worked very well, actually. Franklin was literate. He loved to read. He was a very detail-oriented fellow, and he was end up, well, they didn't know this at the time, but he ended up really liking technology. And so he apprenticed his brother in his print shop, and that went sour. We can go into those details if you want.
Well, I think many people know that story, but one of the things that a lot of people might not know about him that you talk about in the book that you chronicle in from his biography, his autobiography, is the fact that he was a vegetarian before vegetarians were cool.
He was.
This just seems really strange to me to learn that in the 18th century, people were practicing vegetarianism.
Well, and Franklin learned it from a book that had already been published about that. There were, you know, people before Franklin. He didn't invent it, but he did pick it up from a guy named Tryon. But yes, Franklin was a vegetarian. He did it primarily for financial reasons.
Because he was so tight.
He was tight. and he found that, you know, he could eat vegetables and water cheaper and some bread.
I have a friend like that.
Yeah,
I have a friend that would do that, I think.
Cheaper than beer and meat, and which a lot of people did. And it was true. It's absolutely true. I mean, it was probably he ate for probably a quarter or less of what his associates ate for.
Right.
And he took the money and plowed it into, you know, savings and books and other things, and it worked quite well. But, yeah, we didn't invent vegetarianism in the 1960s in California.
Right,
sure.
Exactly. But of course, this also fit his experimentation gene, too, didn't it? I mean, he liked experimenting.
Absolutely. In fact, in one place he did it. He set up a kind of a food experiment in one of the houses, printing houses that he worked in, you know, to see, you know, he challenged other people to join him to see if they'd be more clear-headed, better workers, you know, save money, things like that. And so, yes, he did it as a personal experiment, but then he would also experiment with other people, and voluntarily, of course, not secretly, but it does fit his nature quite well. And that's just a good lesson for us. You know, people say, well, how did he get to be such a good scientist? Well, you know, he was experimenting. Kind of came out that way. He was experimenting with that kind of stuff.
One of the things that small business owners can learn from him is something that Dale Carnegie learned from him, didn't he? Dale Carnegie, the guy who wrote How to Win Friends and Influence People, he was a very much of an admirer of Franklin, wasn't he?
Very much so. In the past year and a half or so, I've gotten to know the CEO of Dale Carnegie and Associates and found out something just stunning. It's not in the book, but whenever people came to Dale Carnegie's corporation to work, he did not give them a copy of How to Win Friends and Influence People. I mean, you would think he would hand them that book.
Right. In fact, I would think before you go to work there, you'd have to memorize it or something.
That's right. You would think so.
That would be part of the test to get hired.
You know, contrarily, he gave them a copy of the autobiography of Ben Franklin.
Wow.
And said, read this one. And so that's kind of the level of admiration that he had. But Carnegie said, you know, if you read one book in your library, check it out, you know, get it, own it, whatever. It's the autobiography. And, you know, this is the guy who started the self-improvement industry as we know it today, and he learned at the feet of the master. And, you know, everybody who's followed, you know, Stephen Covey, he's a, you know,
right,
follower of that.
Stephen's been on the show many times before, but he never mentioned Franklin. I'll have to ask him about that next time. Benjamin Franklin's birthday, ladies and gentlemen, 301 years. We're talking to the guy who adapted an outstanding book from Benjamin Franklin's memoirs, from his autobiography, I should say. That's Blaine McCormick. It's almost 20 after. I'm Jim Blasingame. Stay with me. We'll be right back.
Your troubles make you cry. Don't waste a moment wondering why.
Welcome back. It's 23 after the hour.
You have to go on.
When everything goes wrong, ladies and gentlemen, you have to go on and do it or die, just like Atlanta Rhythm Section sang it years ago and still are, if you listen to my show, at least. I consider that to be one of the theme songs of small business owners, and probably to a degree was Benjamin Franklin's theme song, even though he didn't know that song. I'm sure he was Blaine McCormick. I'm sure Benjamin Franklin understood the concept of do it or die. Back in the revolutionary days, that's what they were faced with, weren't they?
That's right, in more ways than one, you know.
Maybe do it and die.
The revolution did put their lives on the line, but, you know, another thing was mortality. I mean, just life expectancy in those days was, you know, staying alive was its own battle.
Well, he lived to be in his 80s?
84. It was remarkable.
Which was like double life expectancy in those days,
man,
wasn't it?
If you got out of your 30s, you were considered one of the chosen.
But, yeah, one of the fortunate ones. And by the way, folks, Dr. Blaine McCormick is the author of Ben Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur. It's a wonderful adaptation of Franklin's autobiography for modern times. And tell us where the book's available.
The book is available at Amazon.com. Really, any of your bookstores are going to have it, but Amazon probably moves more copies than anybody at that
right
price.
Blaine McCormick is the name of the author and our friend. Franklin was a party guy, wasn't he? He was a partier, wasn't he?
Well, he was.
He liked the ladies.
He was, well, I'll address that on a couple of fronts. He was very gregarious. He was a good networker, and he enjoyed, he got more done in at salons and social events than at official meetings.
He was America's first networker, too, wasn't he?
He was America's first networker.
he was a social networker before there was anybody even knew about MySpace, right?
That's right. I'll say a couple of things about that. There are these stories about Franklin being a ladies' man. As a historian, I have to say, I do think that part of the historical record's a bit overblown.
Oh, no. That's the fun part.
I'm going to take all the fun out of it. There's really no, I hear a lot of things. I've heard people make claims about Franklin and how, he did everything to win the Revolutionary War for us, so to speak.
He took one for the team, right? Is that what you're saying?
What's that?
He took one for the team.
That's right. The first James Bond, some people would call him. But there's just no evidence. There's no smoking gun that anybody out there really benefited from that or did that. And, it would have emerged by this point in time. And
but so what I read was that it wasn't so much that he liked the ladies, but the ladies liked him.
The ladies liked him. His wife had been dead for a decade by the time he went to Paris. Some people say, how could he do that to his wife? Well, considering she'd been dead 10 years, it was probably an okay thing.
Yeah.
He was 76. He was nobody's poster child for good looks, but he was quite charming. And the ladies did love him. And that's kind of part of it. Let me bounce off that theme and say, Jim, everybody loved Ben. I mean, this guy was likable.
Yeah.
And in business, we tend to think that people do business with us because they trust us, and there's something there.
Right.
But I'm more and more a believer that people do business with us because they like us.
Mm-hmm. Small business. Say that again, Blaine, because, folks, this is going to be on the test. Go ahead.
This is going to be on the test. People do business with us because they like us.
That's right.
And likability, let me put it this way, likability may be the most underrated success factor in the
And there's no question about that, Blaine, because small business owners have got to understand that the more you get to know your customers, the more they get to know you, the more they're willing to pay you a little bit more than other people, and that's where your profit margin comes from.
Absolutely.
You can literally dine out on your looks, ladies and gentlemen, if you're a small business owner, because we're so cute and cuddly. We're like Ben Franklin.
That's right.
We may not be drop-dead gorgeous, but we're cute and cuddly.
That's right. And, again, many people can mistake this for trust, and, there is something to that. But it goes well beyond that to, I can be trustworthy, but really boring.
Right.
And not get any invitations to parties.
Right.
But I can be likable and reliable at the same time, and you're gonna run the table.
One thing about Franklin, though, that we might not want to emulate, and you correct me if I'm wrong here.
Okay, I will.
I'm constantly encouraging small business owners to gain and maintain balance in their lives, to realize that as important as our businesses are, our business is not more important than our health, than our well-being, our spiritual well-being, but especially our businesses are not more important than our relationships with our family members. And Ben was lacking in that area a little bit, wasn't he?
A little bit in there. It got to some tensions. I'll say that from a few fronts. This is the guy who did popularize the phrase, early to bed, early to rise. Makes a man healthy, wealthy, and wise. Now, that is a balanced scorecard, healthy, wealthy, and wise. So he did have some sense of balance.
Mm-hmm.
But he, to speak clearly to the record, his first son was estranged from him. They got on opposite sides of the Revolutionary War and got estranged from one another. That did not go well. His dear wife, Deborah, they had a good marriage from everything I can tell, but it was a long-suffering and long-distance marriage.
A long-distance marriage.
Many years.
Yeah.
She died at home when he was in England doing work, and that's just kind of how the cookie crumbled. So he did give up. He did trade out a lot on that. And it's part of it, I'll say two things on that, and we'll close. But part of it, we have kind of a better family culture today in America than they used to. I truly believe that we are more pro-family.
Right. I think so, too.
And we're better at balance. In those days, being apart from your family was just a given.
Right.
So, it's a different time.
Didn't have the ability to connect with people and stay connected through the technology that we do
now. That's right.
Hey, Blaine, thanks for being here. Good job today.
Hey, thanks.
And tell us, you got a website?
I don't have a website.
But the book is available wherever books are sold. It's Ben Franklin, America's Original Entrepreneur by Blaine McCormick. Thanks, Blaine. See you next time.
My pleasure.
Quick break. Right back. Stay with me.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.